Hello, I'm Joel Hughes.
And I'm Aurora Alexander.
And this is the Psychology Pathways Podcast.
We help busy psychology students succeed.
If you want to contact us, send an email to psychologypathwayspodcast, all one word, at gmail.com.
One of the most common questions that I get is, should I do this? Should I get a minor? Should I take this class? Should I retake this class if I got a bad grade? Should I do this internship? Do you get that question?
All the time. Every day.
And what do you say in reply to that?
Well, I kind of weigh out the pros and cons with the student. And ultimately, I say, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yes,
for you?
That's your catchphrase.
That is my go-to catchphrase. I say it to students. I say it in my personal life. I say it probably daily too much.
It's such a good metaphor, though, because it gives you that idea of like, yeah, there's a benefit. There's always a benefit to every opportunity, but you have to think more carefully about whether or not the benefit outweighs the cost.
Right.
You know, and it's usually not a cost in terms of money, although it can be. Often it's effort, the whole squeeze idea. It's like, how hard am I going to have to work at this opportunity and what am I going to get out of it?
Yeah. It's a return on investment. It's a funny way of talking about, you know, return on investments. And for me, when I'm working with students, it's a huge question. Should I be doing an internship versus research? Should I shoehorn myself into a research while I'm doing internship? Should I do both, you know, or should I get a minor? Should I, you know, be working part-time while I'm going to school? Just lots of should I's, and really just helping students kind of, you know, pick that apart.
Let's start with the minor idea. I mean, everybody says, do I need a minor? What do you think?
No. Question mark?
Yes and no.
Yeah. You don't need one in order to graduate, especially with a psychology degree. You don't need one.
No.
I didn't have a minor when I graduated. I have tons of students that graduate every semester, no minors, and they do go on and do amazing things. And sometimes you will encounter an advisor that says you need to have a minor.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
And so I think there's a few things kind of playing into that. And when I talk with the student, they're freaked out because they can't find a minor that they like good enough to commit to it. And so they feel that pressure because someone of, you know, a previous advisor has said, you have to have a minor. And so they feel this pressure kind of barreling down on them. And so.
So that's another one of those expectations that people place on you.
Right. It's the shoulds and the oughts. And
it might be because there's a culture that says that having more credentials is better. And so in order to stand out, why don't you pick up a minor? And I don't know that that's always true. It's conceivable that there's a university in the country that requires a minor to graduate.
Yeah.
But I know that that's really, really uncommon. And I think it's a lot more likely that you just have another 20 credits to burn and you don't want to, you know, take random classes.
And that's really what I think it boils down to is when advisors are meeting with students, they say, you need to have a minor. And it's because you need to fill that gap.
Yeah.
For us, students need to have at least 120 credits in order to graduate. If you did everything perfectly and you checked off all the boxes and you did all the requirements, it doesn't equal out to be 120 credits. So there's that gap. And so you either pick a minor that you're somewhat interested in, or you have the luxury of kind of taking whatever in the entire university catalog, whatever you want to take. And that can be super overwhelming for a student. So sometimes it's just easier to pick from a set list.
Yeah, choice paralysis of having too many options. But if you draw a circle around, say, 18 credits and say, this is a minor in business, or this is a minor in human resources, or this is a minor in anthropology, now you've got something that shows the world, because it's on your transcript.
Right.
It could conceivably come in handy on your resume.
It could.
To show that you actually studied that.
It could. So it's one of those things, again, is the juice worth the squeeze? So if you want to add a minor, think about this. Are you naturally interested in that field?
Yeah.
Don't shoehorn in a minor that you don't enjoy, and that is torture to take those classes that you don't excel in.
So it's a good way of signaling that you have a deep interest in something that it wasn't your major. Like if you had a minor in writing, that might look nice. If you had a minor in public health, that might look like, you know, this is a person that's actually got some background in that area, which could maybe help you get into a master's degree in public health if you didn't have a bachelor's degree in public health.
Possibly.
So I can see that there's times that a minor is a great idea and there's times that it's a bad idea.
Yeah. If you're planning on adding a minor, and sometimes they're really flexible, other times not so much, and it will actually, because they're lockstepped, you know, if you're picking up a minor in a foreign language, you can't take, you know, Spanish 3 before you take Spanish, you know.
I'll just take all the classes this semester.
Yeah, you can't take big chunks in foreign language. So if you're postponing graduation just to shoehorn in this minor, it doesn't really work out for you. Unless the juice is worth the squeeze for you.
Okay. Best times to have a minor. What do you think?
Because
I can think of several.
So, okay. For example, if you know that this, you have two unrelated things, but your goal is a mixture of those two, you can add a minor that will, you know, help leverage you to get to where you want to go. So, for example, I have a student that knows that she wants to do counseling. She actually has two deaf cousins, and she wants to counsel the deaf population. So she is picking up a minor in American Sign Language. Those two things are...
So that's almost a credential. So if it can be a credential that shows that I have skill in something rare and valuable.
Yes. I also had a friend in college who wanted to work on Sesame Street.
Of course. Naturally.
So we made fun of him mercilessly. But he ended up getting a degree in radio and television broadcasting, but he got a minor in child development.
Oh, yeah. There you go. But again, a credential.
Right.
And it now, shows that you have a deep and enduring interest in child development.
Right. And now he works for PBS. So joke's on me. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It worked.
It worked.
That's one of those butterfly jobs that, like, you cannot catch that. So
that's
I am impressed.
Yeah.
So here's another good reason to have a minor. You switch majors. You used to be, let's say, an English major, and you switch to something else, and you already have like 25 credits.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If there's only two classes left to take, that, and now you have a minor, might as well get it done.
Might as well. Mm-hmm.
The worst time to get a minor. What's the worst?
Your senior year.
So it's too late?
It's
not. Don't start something?
I wouldn't. And again, it depends on the minor. It depends on who you are. If you can take big, giant chunks at the same time, where you can take, you know, four or five classes of a minor and it doesn't affect you negatively, sure, do that. Add the minor. And if it's not going to postpone graduation.
So postponing graduation, maybe not the greatest idea when it's time to decide if you're going to have a minor.
Yeah. If you already have goals and you know that you want to get into a graduate program or something and you're getting a minor in 18th century Russian literature and it has nothing to do with your future goals, I wouldn't postpone graduation.
Yet.
So, yeah.
So I would also say that getting a minor is a bad idea if it means you have to overcommit. So now I'm going to take 21 credits a semester and I'm stressed out and I'm paying more money. Maybe, and it's just going to water down the time that I have for other things.
Yeah, like putting effort into internship or research or something like that that's going to help you in the long term. Yeah, if it's going to water everything else.
And just to return to something you said earlier, another one of the best times to get a major is because I feel like it. So if I'm really interested in Russian literature and there's a minor offered, hey, just do it.
I mean, when
else are you going to have an opportunity to kind of dabble in things and get enough that it shows up that you did it?
Yeah.
But you didn't need to have a whole major.
Exactly. I have a student that I have several students who they're interested, you know, in Jewish studies. And so they're not doing it because in the hopes of one day working at a synagogue, you know, they're Jewish and they're naturally interested in that. So college is the time to allow yourself to kind of explore areas that you normally wouldn't. So for me, I'm a little bit of I don't like to respond. I don't respond well to like telling me this is what you have to do. So I rebel. So I couldn't make a decision between history or criminal justice, because when I looked at the full sheet of the minors, I go, I like this and this and this, but I don't want to take that class. So I was actually picking and choosing. I didn't pick up a minor, but I did a little bit of history and then I did a little bit of criminal justice. I was cherry picking. And so that's an alternative for you. I had that gap to fill in. So I didn't want to have a minor in history. I wanted to take the Holocaust class and the American colonial class all on its own. I didn't want to have to take all the other stuff.
So coming back to our original metaphor, I can see why you often answer, is the juice worth the squeeze? It's just not a simple question for whether or not you should have a minor, whether or not you should retake a class, whether or not any particular activity or programming is worth it. And it's really, that is the question, is this going to be worth it in terms of a return on effort investment, the effort and time. I forget what it's called in economics. Oh, the opportunity cost. If I do this, what am I not doing?
Yeah.
And so what is the opportunity cost? Is this going to be actually worth it? And I think that's a great conversation to have with your friends, family, advisor, peers. And don't come in feeling like I have to either do this or not do this.
Yes.
You have a lot of freedom.
There's a lot of freedom to it. And a lot of students will think, does this make me look better in the eyes of an employer or for graduate school? And I will tell you from a career background, it's one of those things where people are like, oh, you have a minor in sociology? Okay. It's not a make it or break it.
Usually not. It's absolutely not a make it or break it. And I can think of a couple instances where it really might help. Like if you're applying to a graduate program in psychology and you have no psychology background whatsoever in your major, but you had a minor in psychology, sometimes that's enough credits
absolutely.
To demonstrate that you've got the background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's no such thing as a minor in pre-med. You have to have the requirements or you need not apply.
Right.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that don't worry about looking impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about that so much. Worry about whether or not you have the requirements and worry about whether or not you kind of pass the filters to get past either the human resources hiring professional or the person doing admissions.
Yeah.
And that's a fun discussion to have. It's a discussion for another day. But so for now, I think we should do this. Is the juice worth the squeeze somewhat regularly?
I think that sounds great.
Feel free to email in any questions you have about is this worth it? And then we can kick it back and forth in our unscripted style.
Yeah. Perfect.
See where we end up.
I love it. Okay, Joel, have you ever had an idea that sounded great in theory, but then when the idea came to fruition, didn't quite pan out the way you had anticipated?
Not really. I mean, there was the 5 years of research I did.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you're a mutant. You're one of the X-Men.
No, remember the 5 years of research on portion control? That?
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun, and I really went down that rabbit hole. But I think one paper ever came out of that, and I was so frustrated because it seemed like, wow, this is going to be the best. You know, we ended up with a design patent. We were really rocking along. And, you know, what is that? 10 semesters of studies.
Mm.
All for one measly manuscript. So yeah, sometimes things don't work out like you want.
Okay. Yeah. So I call this good on paper. So on paper, it sounds like the perfect plan or the perfect deal or even like the perfect partner.
Yeah. Well, we were going to solve the obesity problem in America, but that didn't happen.
No. Boop. So maybe it does like check all the boxes. And while you're in it, you're thinking, this is foolproof. This is really going to turn out. However, the application is less than desired and it doesn't quite give you the effect that you were hoping for. So students experience this all the time. And when it comes to, especially when it comes to like potential careers, and I went through this, I fancied myself as a jack of all trades. I was pretty good at a little bit of everything. So there were a number of career fields that I could really see myself doing. So ultimately, I knew that I wanted to work with students in an educational environment, like at a university, but I was really open to a few different areas. So when it came to even testing out the theory, do I like this? Is this good? You know, not just on paper, is it good in real life? I thought, okay, let me try out career services because I thought about career counseling. I was really into that. I tried it out. I loved it. I loved interacting with the students on that level. I loved helping them take this education and neatly package it up and help them kind of launch their career. And then there was also an area that I was interested in, which was curriculum development.
Okay.
I thought that sounded very interesting, being on the ground level of something and really turning something into this class or, you know, this expectation that students will be learning from. And
attending the Education Policies Committee.
Yeah. I got into it and hated it. It was awful. I hated it so much. It was me in an office with the door closed, computer screens and stacks of papers. I had almost no interaction. I never interacted with a student. And I had this internship during like a summer. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there are already.
Alone.
Yeah. It was just me
pushing
on an entire campus. The only time I interacted with somebody was if they were lost. So it was very sad. So for me, it didn't quite work out. On paper, it sounded great, but in theory or in the application, it didn't quite pan out. So do you ever see similar scenarios with the students that you work with?
Yeah, that's kind of almost every meeting I have. Because usually people come in with one idea, and within 30 minutes, their idea has changed.
Uh-oh.
And they didn't even have to shadow or do a work experience. Just talking through what it would really involve, sometimes it's not what they thought. And they're always okay with that when we talk about it a little further. And, you know, for me, I guess, though, the stereotype of this kind of a scenario where people try it out and they don't like it is student teaching.
Oh, right.
And I think that the education school has actually gone to having student teaching start earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's the last semester of your senior year and you do your student teaching full time for free in a classroom, in a school, and you discover that you do not like students, that's a bad day.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's temporary because everything is hard when you get started. But sometimes it's like a real wake-up call. And then people are so demoralized when they realize that their teaching credential is not going to be worth anything.
Yeah, because they hate it.
Yeah. I actually stumbled into a real awkward silence when I was meeting with a family. And I was using that stereotype. And their daughter had just completed student teaching. And she didn't like student teaching.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, you know, I bet it was awkward, but...
Well, what I did was I brought it back to a concept of what is her purpose. And if her purpose is to contribute to education and to be involved, you know, I said, you know, she should at least finish her degree.
Yeah.
And then there are so many careers in education that aren't being the teacher, you know. And so developing education materials, curriculum development, career services. There's other things that you can do in schools or that you can do as part of the education economy.
Look at you putting a positive spin on that.
I was a spin doctor that day.
And
well, the good news is it worked, and they left feeling like, oh, there is a purpose to her having finished this degree in education.
Good.
And so I hope that they talk to her about that.
Not
but anyway, I totally get it, that people often try something on, it doesn't fit.
Yeah. So, you know, it really boils down to getting internships. So for me, I knew what the word internship meant, but I didn't realize how much weight that it carried. And especially for students that are coming into psychology, and psychology could potentially lead you anywhere and everywhere, you need to have a way of narrowing down your choices. So I have, usually when I'm sitting with a student, I try really hard to help them narrow down those choices because it seems super overwhelming to them. And so one way I do that is by ignoring job titles, because people like to hang their hat on a job title.
Yes.
It's very easy. I want to be a this. I want to be a that, you know. But in psychology, because it can lead you everywhere, you know, you kind of have to stay away from that. So I help students figure out what kind of population do you see yourself working with? Are you working with children? Are you working with prisoners? Are you working with the elderly? Or, you know, think about the environment. Are you in a hospital setting? Are you in a school? Are you in a prison? Are you, you know, at a nursing home? That way, job titles, you can throw those in the garbage, but you can really start narrowing things down when you start finding out what sparks my joy as far as the people that I want to help.
So I have to give a quick shout out to a book called Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. And these are Stanford professors. Again, the book is Designing Your Life. I'll put it in the show notes. And I'll remind everyone we don't have any affiliate marketing. We only talk about things that we like.
Yeah.
And so chapter 6 is what they call prototyping.
That's right.
They're designers. And their argument is you don't just build something, you design it first. And one of the things that you do when you're designing something is you make prototypes to see if this is any good. And so an internship is a fabulous way of prototyping whatever career field you're thinking about.
Yeah. So do you ever encounter students that are really focused on that job title?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people come in with the stereotype or the archetype of like clinical psychologist or therapist or physician.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all they know because, you know, you come from high school, you come to college, you have to choose. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. What is your major? And the majors often have a title associated with them.
Right.
Psychology sounds like psychologist. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of title... I don't know what you want to call it. Not title phobia. It's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Titlephilia. Love of titles.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. So just making sure if you can start narrowing down the populations or the environments that you're working with, forget about the job titles. And that way you can really find experiences and internships that will allow you to work in those parameters. So gaining experience by testing your theories, really, is this good on paper career actually going to be good in real life, will be a series of opening and closing doors. So if you like something, open the door, walk through it, go a little bit further. If you don't like it, move on, shut that door, and don't even look back.
I totally agree. And in fact, two quick stories. I had a student I was working with from another major. She spent one day in cardiac rehabilitation, and she knew I'm not going to go on and get my master's degree in exercise science because then I might be, in cardiac rehab, and I'm not going to do that.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's great to go to cardiac rehab, but she didn't like it at all. And then one of my favorite stories from students is when they did an internship, and what they learned from their internship is that I am not going to do this.
Yes.
And they always say that that was a great experience.
Absolutely.
It wasn't bad at all because now they know I will not do alcohol and drug counseling. I will not do child development or whatever it is that their internship was in. They maybe are like, now I know.
Yeah. And a lot of students are worried about getting an internship that they won't like. And I always reassure them by saying, even if you hate it, you can do anything for 3 months or whatever. You can power through anything for 15 weeks. But I would rather you find out now than later. So, even though it may be a bad experience, it's actually a really good experience because you're closing a door. So curriculum development for me was not necessarily a bad experience. I learned a lot from that. And not just, I don't like that. There was a lot of things that I didn't realize that I needed for myself to enjoy my job. I don't like to be isolated. I like to work with people. I do like my alone time, but not endless amounts of alone time with zero interaction. So that taught me about my work experience as far as what kind of environment I'm looking for. So it was a great, the people that I worked with were awesome too, but I just learned a lot and it narrowed down the career field for me. So whenever I see a position for curriculum development, actually a friend of mine just got a curriculum coordinator position and I go, kudos for you.
Maybe it's their favorite.
Maybe it's their favorite. And I think that she'll do amazingly in this position. But I was like, thank God I'm not working because that would drive me crazy.
And, you know, you bring up a really important point that sometimes you're not learning about the content of the career. Mm-hmm. You're learning about the context. And
yes.
So if the environment is the hospital, the school, social service agency, business, mm-hmm. you know, what is the environment that this job is carried out in? Because there's a lot of things you can't really shadow. You know, it's hard to shadow a psychologist doing therapy because there's a lot of confidentiality.
Right.
But if you go to where they work and see what is this like here, mm-hmm. you know, the person working at the reception desk is learning what it's like. What is the ebb and flow of the counselors that come and go each day? And what is it like? And if they see a lot of frustration and unhappiness, then that's no good. If they see a lot of joy and pleasure, mm-hmm. then they're learning from that context. This is a great place to be.
Yeah. So how early do you think students should be getting an internship? Is there such a thing as too early or too late?
I think that earlier is better, but and I know that here we have to have our caveat again that these are our opinions.
Right.
You know, if you ask six advisors and six faculty, when should you do an internship, how many opinions will you get?
50.
Exactly. 6 + 6 = 50 in this case. And so people may disagree, but when I was the undergraduate coordinator and I would meet with students that were visiting the university considering Kent State, I would always suggest that the freshman year is the year of settling in. Mm-hmm. And then the sophomore year, it's really time to get on it with either your research experience or your internship. An internship, it might be hard to do in the sophomore year. I don't think it's too early. It kind of depends on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I think that as you get, you know, more and more advanced in your college education, the pressure to do an internship should be rising if you're in a field where an internship is valuable.
Right. And I, you know, I'm working with a lot of students and they'll have really great questions. So how early is too early? Is this too late for me? And so it kind of comes back to here's my rule of thumb when it comes to internships and experience. One is better than none. Three are better than one. So if you have the opportunity to do an internship or even extended volunteering somewhere, I say do it. But if you have the opportunity to do two or three or more, it's only going to benefit you. So a lot of students will come to me and have those questions. How early is too early? How late is too late? How many do I need to have? And so my rule of thumb is one is better than none. Three are better than one. So if you have the opportunity to do an internship or to volunteer extensively somewhere, I say do it. If you have multiple opportunities, take advantage of all of them, because you're only doing yourself a favor in the long run. Not only does it look great on a resume for employers or trying to get into graduate school, but it also helps you in the long run. And you're constantly asking yourself, do I like this? Do I not like this? Is this my cup of tea? Do I like this? Could I see myself doing this day in and day out, getting paid for it? And I have students that will say, does it look better to have three internships at three different places? I went through this. Should I do it at one place for three semesters or three different internships? And I say, it don't matter.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, the advantage is that you did something instead of nothing.
Yeah.
Because I'm really tired of the conversation where people get to the end of their education and they've been folding t-shirts at the mall and doing some online shopping. Yeah. But when you say what's on your resume, it's like, well, I took all these classes and that's it.
Right.
And that's so depressing to me as a faculty advisor, because it means that you're going to have a gap, you know, year or five.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge for you to get into someplace. I had a pretty decent GPA and I met all the requirements for graduate school. And I remember I was crucified when I was sitting in on that graduate school interview, because I didn't have any experience.
I have several examples that come to mind of students in business or other majors where an internship is very, very typical. And they had not done an internship and they graduated in 4 years. But mm-hmm. one person I know, it was more than a year until he found a job.
Yeah.
And another person I know, they were in business and their specialty was marketing. They never did an internship and they're still not in marketing. And so, you know, in some majors, an internship is so critical that it is more important than your GPA. And this is how you get your foot in the door for even an entry-level position.
Yeah. Most employers, for an entry-level position, just to get your foot in the door, they want to see 1 to 3 years of experience. Well, how do you get experience without experience? It's through internship or volunteering opportunities. It shows, ultimately, investment.
It does.
That you have an intention in order to follow through. Otherwise, you just look like a wild card.
Yeah. And so here's some quick fire questions. Are internships paid or volunteer?
A majority of them will be volunteer.
If you get a paid internship, good for you, but don't expect it.
Don't expect it. I ended up getting in graduate school a paid internship, and I knew it was like finding a unicorn. And I let everybody know I got a paid internship because nobody else was getting paid. But it was a rare thing.
Do you need to take credits of internship or not?
No.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. It's great. If you do it and it's kind of killing two birds with one stone, I need these credits, they're upper division, they count towards my 120, which I need for the degree. But sometimes, again, the juice isn't worth the squeeze if you're doing it during the summer, and summer credits are way more expensive. They're
often out of pocket.
Yeah, it's out of pocket. Your financial aid or scholarship, maybe that won't pay for it. So you have to weigh those things out. But the experience portion, really, that's all internship is.
It's you just, can put it on your resume volunteer. If there's no credits on your transcript.
Absolutely. That's your experience. You take that with you forever, and that's what you talk about in interviews.
And here I would add the caveat that all policies are local. So if your university requires an internship for graduation, then you're doing credits.
Yeah, that's right.
And if it doesn't, then don't worry about it.
That's right.
Okay, so I graduated and I didn't do an internship. Now what?
Good luck.
Here's my advice to students. Your first job is your internship.
Yes.
So instead of trying to get a really awesome full-time job with benefits and a high salary, be very humble. And even say so in the interview that I didn't do an internship and I'm looking for a foot in the door. And so you would be willing to work part-time instead of full-time, or you would be willing to work at a low level of the company instead of a high level of the company, because you're considering this, you know, work experience,
yes,
not just a career. And so sometimes people can start in, you know, a Fortune 500 company or somewhere that's like legitimate. It's not retail or, mm-hmm. you know, the warehouse. But if you can start in something and you make it clear that I'm doing this for the experience, and so it's okay with me mm-hmm. that I'm not going to be already, you know, a senior accountant today
yeah.
with my accounting degree and no internship. You're starting as bookkeeper, assistant to someone
yes.
else.
Yes.
Because what you're doing is you're doing your internship after you graduate. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. There's no harm,
totally
no foul.
Totally fine. Right. And be open to that, and just know that going into it, that as long as maybe you can just get a job working in the environment. If you graduate with a degree in psychology and you really want to work in a hospital, get a job in a hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to do the job title that you wanted. Maybe you're not qualified for that just yet, but just work in that environment. Maybe you are doing something that you would think I should be doing something better, but that doesn't mean that you can't work up to it.
So to bring this plane in for a landing, I guess our first point was to test out your good on paper career options first with an internship before you commit to that career.
Right. And then go a step beyond the job title. Try to do your best to ignore it. And focus really on populations that you prefer working with. So do you want to work with married couples or students or, you know, the elderly? Or think about the environment that you want to work in. Are you working for a government agency? Are you working in a university setting, in a school, in a hospital, in a clinic?
And then I guess the other thing would be to start as soon as you can. Practically, it's okay to take a year or two to adjust to college and to make sure your GPA is not trashed.
Right.
But once you're kind of settled in, it's time to, you know, look around and mm-hmm. find opportunities to start narrowing down your choices by prototyping, as Burnett and Evans say in their Designing Your Life book, or, you know, testing out different mm-hmm. things with internships, because it turns out that that's going to be, especially for launching a career, one of your greatest assets.
Sure. And remember, the rule of thumb is one experience is better than none, and three experiences are better than one.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us for the Psychology Pathways podcast. Remember, we're not acting as an official spokesperson for anyone, and this podcast is not endorsed by any department or university. The views expressed here are ours alone. This podcast is the private social media property of Joel Hughes and Aurora Alexander, and is not a social media platform representing any department or university. We hope you'll join us for the next episode.
If you enjoyed the show, rate us at iTunes or Spotify and tell your friends.
Find out more at psychpathways.com. That's P-S-Y-C-H pathways.com.
And send your listener questions to psychologypathwayspodcast@gmail.com.